sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Épisode 204. Okay. 204. The worst in me. He saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. Can I tell you one more time? One more time. I said he saw the best in me. Fuck that. She saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. God damn it, I wish I had a witness. All I need is one. Welcome. Bienvenue. I know episode of Shut Up. Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanor. Yeah, okay. All right, on se déniaise, okay. Hey, y'all. Before I continue with today's show, I need to inform all you listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red black, and the red blue. Rouge et bleu up in this bitch. Rouge et bleu up in this bitch. In this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
Are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Wednesday, September 19th, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, reckon label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. All right, okay, let's press on.
Asian nigger.
Oh, whoa, what the fuck was that? Holy shit. Okay, so I got a new assistant on the podcast, and because of employment equity, as you can tell, he's, you know, if you look at the palm color of my hands, he's one of them, right? And not only is he unqualified, this cracker's racist.
Asian nigger.
Yeah, all right, okay. I will provide context to that clip, but before I continue, yes, for those who haven't guessed, I am a
Asian nigger.
There we go. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. Okay. As always, there's a little tradition I started on this podcast is, shout out to all you returning listeners. This is for you. And another special shout out to all you new listeners. Yay! Now, just to help you get familiarized with how I do things on the show, I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Parts that I like to call, that I prefer to call acts. Just sounds cooler. Just, I don't know. Chicks dig it. All right. The first act is the intro. Second act is using random thoughts. And the last act is called the final thoughts. Okay? And I got to tell you, man, Today's final thought, fuck, it's probably the most thoughts I've invested in all the, what are we, 204 episodes out of the, there's a lot of thoughts that went into it, but we'll get back to it, right? Okay, I'm reminding myself I'm speaking to you new listeners, helping you get accommodated and all that shit. All right, okay. So far in the intro, what you've heard is the theme song, followed by me saying the title of today's episode, followed by some poetry, which both the theme song and the poetry will all be connected to the final thoughts, to the final thought, right? And everything after that was salutation and, salutation, greetings, and a disclaimer, yeah. I talk a lot of interesting shit, but I also like to warn the crowd of the kind of podcast this is, especially, you know, curious white folks. You know, you're welcome, but just, you know, don't be a fuckboy. All right. Okay. And where was I? What else do I got left? Yeah. Okay. And salutation. Now, another thing I like to do in the intro before I jump to the next act is share some quotes. Start off with some quotes. And the first one goes, you know what? Stop me if I've read this before. Then again, how you gonna stop me? Okay. It goes, trauma makes you tolerate people who treat you poorly because you're afraid of losing them. Healing makes you realize that you should be afraid of losing yourself by trying to please everyone. Oh my God. Yo, this shit is so relevant. You get to the final thought. But, and the second quote goes, yeah, so this is probably very relevant to the core aspect of the podcast host, me. And it goes, highly sensitive people don't just notice more. Their system actually processes it longer and more deeply. That means that almost any experience they have gets turned over in their minds again and again. As a result, HSPs, highly sensitive people, are more prone to overstimulation and overwhelm. This quote is from Andre Solo, highlysensitiverefugee.com. Oh, okay. Oh, shit. I should check it out. Yeah, I guess I should probably give you a heads up. On this podcast, being sensitive is not a bad thing. The word sensitive is not a bad word. So in addition to fuck Whitey, you also need to respect that. Highly sensitive. Say that in a positive way or in a trait. All right. Okay. Now, this concludes the intro, the first act. Let's jump to the second act, and before I do that, yeah. Okay, all right. Where do I start? Okay, so that clip you heard me play. That clip. Remember the my white assistant who won't stop saying
Asian nigger.
Yeah. You do hear the word nigger, right? You don't hear the word migrant. You don't hear the word immigrant. Maybe he meant to say immigrant. Look at me trying to give a white man the benefit of the doubt. Okay, where all this comes from is a clip that's been circulating the internets about the editor-in-chief of the National Review just said the N-word in regards to Haitian migrants on the Megyn Kelly, and Megyn Kelly ignores it, of course. I mean, how else am I going to play clips from her show on my podcast? And here it goes. I'll play it for you. This is what he says. And shout out to this clip. I got it from, everyone was sharing it. But the first one who brought it to my attention, first person who I noticed on my timeline was Desus Dice. And here we go. Here's a portion of it.
I loved, I think it was in that interview where Dana Bash says, you know, the police have gone through 11 months of recordings of calls, and they've only found two Springfield residents calling to complain about Haitian migrants taking geese from ponds.
Fuck it. Like, I need to hear this. The editor-in-chief of the National Review. Oh, what is the National Review? Okay, let me see. Is National Review one of those racist rag? The editor-in-chief focused on the news piece. The editor-in-chief, they don't say his name? Conservative mispronunciation led to accusation of using slur. Fuck you. Oh, his name is Rich Laurie. Lowry. Oh. He'll be all right. You know what I mean? The key to being racist is to being very, like, to doing racist shit is to be, like, you gotta be stealth about it, right? No, you know what it is? In 2024, in this version of racism, you gotta do or say racist shit in a way that other white people will be like, that's not right. That's not racist. Them niggas are always complaining about racism, but this ain't racism. Maybe that shit that happened to George Floyd, maybe. But Haitian niggas? I mean, come on. Who hasn't confounded their immigrants? But anyway, so, yeah, that's, it's a tough week for us Haitian. We're back in the news as the boogie man. Oh, what the fuck? I was just telling myself how I stopped coughing on episode, and now I'm doing it again, but whatever. Asian niggers. All right. You did hear the N-word, right? Anyway, whatever. Yeah. Back in the news. It's not bad enough for any pets. Now we're Haitian news. Okay. What else is there? Okay. Now, this is a little bit of upliftment. This week in Canadian politician news, I got to tell you, man, it's not easy having the United States as your southern neighbor. Our politics compared to theirs is boring as fuck. But not this week. Not this week. In case you haven't heard, is the MP? Oh, MP? No, leader of the NDP, Jagmeet Singh, was fired up. Can't take no more. Okay, so what happens is, here, I'll tell you what. I'll play the clip just for the hell of it, even though you can't see it. So, okay, you can't see it, but I'll describe it. Jagmeet Singh is minding his own business, walking with his colleagues. And then, hold on a second, you might hear it. You're gonna hear it. And then two white boys approach him, and one of them says, hold on a second. Yep, hold on, let me play it again. He said, corrupted bastard. Yeah, okay, so two white boys approach him, and they have their phones out. Now, I don't know if these white boys are members of the convoy. Convoys are very deplorable people. Like, United States has MAGA, we got the convoy members. And, sorry, United States had We Are the World, we had Tears Are Not Enough. Okay, so convoy, the Tears Are Not Enough of pissed off white people. And, yeah, only if this way, you kids aren't going to get that reference. Tears Are Not Enough. Just Google it. All right. So, yeah. So he says that. And, yeah, Jagmeet Singh. And then homeboy turns around, catches everyone off guard, and turns around. Because usually politicians are used to, especially Canadian politicians. Well, I don't know about the conservative, but the other ones, they're used on being told, well, fuck our prime minister. There's like a whole flag with the fuck Trudeau on there. I mean, anyways, they're used on being cursed at by the general public. But something took a different turn in this case. It goes, okay. Oh, shit. I love it. So now what happens is, sorry, I'm laughing. Okay, Jagmeet Singh turns around. And his first word is, you say something? Holy shit. 613, baby. All right, here we go. He says,
who said that?
Who said that?
You got something to say?
I didn't say corrupted bastard, but
is
I
that
said.
Is that what you said?
No, I did not
who
say
said
that.
Who said it?
Who said it?
Somebody behind
said
me
it?
Said that.
Who said it?
Yo, look at him. He's trying to make eye contact. You should see the look on his face. Word on the street is homeboy knows Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, look, he's a politician. He's wearing a suit. He's not getting his suit dirty, but he's letting a motherfucker know, you can die today. I'll take these suit off. I'll take these cuffs. What's amazing is his assistant is in the background going, oh, shit. This is exactly what I came into work for. All right.
Was it you?
No.
You sure?
You sure?
If it was me, I'd admit it, buddy.
If you sure.
Was it you or not?
If it you was or
me,
not?
I'd admit it. What'd you say then?
What'd you say?
I didn't say nothing. It wasn't me. It was a.
I don't think it's a coincidence that homeboy is wearing a maple leaf hat. Do with that information as you will. A maple leaf hat in the city of Ottawa. I'm just saying. All right, here we go.
Behind me, I guess.
Who is it then?
Point it out.
I have no idea who it was, buddy.
My word.
You sure it's not you?
No.
My word.
100%. You're a coward. You're not going to say it to my face. That's what's up.
Say what?
You didn't,
if I said something like that to you, I'd admit it.
I'd admit it.
All right.
Now, I asked you if...
Man, fuck you, white boy.
Is that aggression? Is that why you're choosing war with Russia?
Shut up.
Well, you talk about the corrupted bastard comment, but you won't...
Is that why you won't go for peace?
Wow.
Welcome to Canada, guys.
Oh, your feelings got hurt, white boy? Anyways, yeah, okay. Before I express why this is, like, an important video for me... I should remind you, links are in the show notes. You can watch the video yourself. I know I was doing a lot of talking during the video, but I figured that since you're not watching it, you know, I should really work on the YouTube channel for this shit. Anyway, whatever. Since you're not able to see it, it's better if you see it on your own. So, yeah, I'm not apologizing for talking throughout the whole movie. Anyway, okay. So, before I, where's the clip? Okay. A statement that Jack Nicholson put out on Twitter. He said, because, you know, he's still a politician. My homeboy's at work. You know what I mean? He goes, by now you've probably seen the video. For days now, bullies in Ottawa have been spewing hate and harassing Canadians who don't agree with them. Oh, yeah. That motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Holy shit. An Indigenous woman. Oh, hello. Okay. An Indigenous woman being called a Nazi, staff being harassed, journalists being yelled at. That's the country Pierre Poilievre wants. Me, I believe everyone should feel safe walking our streets. I'm going to translate. I believe anyone can catch these hands. I believe we need to stand up to bullies and shut down hate. Canadians believe in lifting each other up, not tearing each other down. Stand with us. Okay, let me tell you something, man. I'm proud of this dude, man. Okay, I should be voted for. For him, but them niggas can't win. I don't know. Okay, sorry. I'm really proud of this dude, and not only just as a Canadian, but as a Canadian child of immigrant parents, non-white Canadian. All right. I think he set the bar, man. For me, this is like some. It's not equivalent to some Rosa Parks shit, but it's the reason why this is significant to me is. I feel like this is a response to all the time some white boy desecrated some Jewish cemetery, wrote the N-word on whatever, right? And then, you know, like, throw stones and hid their hands. Threw stones and hid their hands. And I feel like this is the first time where they threw stone. Jackman caught it and said, hey, motherfucker, I see you, and called them on it. Like, I like this idea that, hey, keep acting like it can't happen. Acting as if it can't happen. Yeah, I really loved his response because enough is enough. I mean, like, look, freedom of speech protects you from the government. Allows you to say shit whatever the fuck you want, but it doesn't give you immunity against consequences. Now, sure, he's a politician, but I did love the way the look on his face, and he looked in his eyes like, nigga, I'm ready to die. Fuck these cops behind me. Like, I wonder if the cops were there to be like, hey, come on, brown guy. The fuck? You can't be hitting on a white man. But man. You know what? It was symbolic. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It was symbolic. I don't think he would have whooped his ass, but it would have been beautiful to see. It's like, fuck my career. What? Jack, fuck him up. What? He's going to do his stuff. Anyways, it was a beautiful moment, great Canadian heritage moment. What song? Let Your Backbone Slide. No, I don't know. I don't know what song I would play in response to this. But it was, yeah, shout out to Jackman Singh, man. And shout out to you NDP supporters. to be honest with you, I'm putting politics on the side for a second. When I say politics on the side, I mean like forgetting the fact that he made some unpopular decision. I'm suspending myself for thinking about that shit. But yeah, salute to Homeboy, man. Salute. I think he did that on behalf. That shit was on behalf of all of us, man, who are tired of your shit. I mean, it's easy to go out there and talk shit because you're not going to get your ass whipped. But your ass whipped. But I mean, en tout cas, mérité, man. C'est très bien mérité, man. It's like, there's going to be more of this bullshit, I know, but it felt good to have one moment of, you say something, huh? You say that? No, it wasn't me. It was the other guy. Was it? I love how the other guy's just staring at his phone. Like, if he ignores him, he'll go away. You can't run from an ass whooping. All right, okay. I told myself I'm not going to spend a lot of time on using random thought because final thought is very likely to take a lot of my time, a lot of your time. Well, a lot of my time. So, but I tell you what, let me give you a hint about what final thought is about, okay? You guys know who, you guys know the name, James and Fuhad? They have a podcast called, Shits and Gigs. Yeah, Shits and Gigs. Let me Google it. Let me see how popular are these people? Okay. They're from, I believe they're British. Some people describe it. Okay, so on their YouTube. Oh my God, 1.9 million. Yeah, that's how our worth is.
I'm just bait.
Okay, 1.9 million. Now, okay, I didn't know these guys' name. Okay, you know what? Let me play this article because you guys need some context. All I knew these dudes was from clips on TikTok, which apparently the United States government is still trying to ban. Motherfuckers. All right, okay. So I don't play this BBC article. Grow up, be black, and then just to give you some context, because this story will follow up to today's final thoughts. Okay, so here we go. Oh, bear with me with the voice because I'm gonna use some AI shit here.
Podcast duo sorry for jokes about black women. James Duncan and Fuhad Dawaja won a MOBO award for their podcast earlier this year. Award-winning podcast.
MOBO award. Award-winning? Okay, hold on.
Duo James Duncan and Fuhad Dawaja have apologized for engaging with racist jokes on a rival show. James and Fuhad, better known as Shits and Gigs, appeared last month on U.S. comedian Andrew Schultz's Flagrant podcast.
Fucking AI. It means he was trying to say Shits and Giggles. Here we go. Sorry about that. Word? We gonna do this? Okay, you know what? Let me, fuck it, fuck AI. All right, okay. James and Fuhad, better known as Shits and Gigs, appeared last month on U.S. comedian Andrew Schultz's Flagrant podcast. Oh, shit. So whatever happened to, what was it, Brilliant Something? Anyways, the pair faced backlash afterwards for laughing along with comments Schultz made about black women. He made some bad jokes that were criticized by listeners being based on a racist stereotype. Yeah. They opened Monday's episode of their podcast by saying sorry and that there was no excuse for their behavior. Yeah, I saw that clip. Excuse me. The podcast, who won a MOBO award in February, damn good for them, had been on a six-week trip to the U.S. when they appeared on the Flagrant podcast. It has tens of thousands of monthly listeners and sells itself as being unfiltered with presenters who could care less about sensitivities. I didn't know about that. Okay. In the episode with James and Fuhad, released on 17th July, they discussed the black girlfriend effect. The phrase inspired a TikTok before and after trend. Oh, really? Trend where mixed race couples would post pictures showing how their relationship had changed them. In the podcast, Fuad starts by saying black women glow up the other culture, make their partners more stylish, with James adding that their boyfriend may get beard tattoos and fade haircut. Oh, man. They shave their hair because they start losing it, Schultz interjects. Oh, okay, of course, being a white boy. Because he's so stressed to be around this black girl complaining all the time. James and Fuad laugh along with Schultz continues. Oh, man, that's even worse than it sounds. Continues, they grow their beard because they need a cushion when they get slapped. I think the black girlfriend effect, it might be a protective instinct. So here they come up with a concept, a trend that brings up black women. And on this show, Schultz played them, man. I don't know. I'm not going to say he played them, but it's like, I don't know why you dumb niggas are on my show, but I'm going to make sure it works to my benefit. Okay. There was a backlash online with fans saying the jokes played into the angry black woman's trope and an overly emotionally aggressive personality. Addressing the online reaction on Monday's podcast, James says Andrew was making a joke, frankly a racist joke, and we were laughing at it. There's literally no excuses. Okay, you know what? Okay, I'm going to get to the apology, but bottom line is a lot of their fan base were disappointed. Combined with people who are looking at two black men with a white boy and not just enabling, but laughing with them. It's as bad as I was. Okay, look, you know what? Let's jump to final thought, and then because you know I'm already getting into final thought, and then it'll make more sense. So, all right, you ready? Okay, let's do this. All right. Okay. Where do I start? Okay, like I said, this is probably, final thought, this is probably the most amount of thinking I've put in into a thought. It's been driving me nuts. I just need to get it out, right? And hey, let me tell you how my week has gone so far. It all started on a Monday, where my homegirl, I'm going to call her my homegirl, she deserves this title, Queen Sister Erica Eiffel. Shared this video on Twitter, which is essentially the apology made by James and what's his name again? The other dude's name. James and Fuad. Regarding their appearance on the Flagrant podcast with Andrew White Boy Schultz. And here we go. Okay. And I'm just for a bit more details. The caption she used was the James and Fuad apology tour. Now, I should add, up until that point, the only clip I had seen about them with you know what, I'll show it. I forgot that I have it bookmarked, so stick to the script. I wrote all this shit down in preparation, but here we go.
So if you know, you know. If you don't, that's fine. But we just wanted to address something that's happening at the minute.
Yep.
This past weekend, there's been a couple of clips going around from when we did a session on the Flagrant podcast while we were on our US tour.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few jokes made that were incredibly inappropriate. One specifically pertaining to black women.
Yep.
And in the clip, Andrew was making a joke. I'm not even going to get into specifics. Making a racist joke.
Yeah.
And we were laughing at it. Mm-hmm. And to give, there's first of all, before we get into like specifics or anything like that, obviously there's just literally no excuse. There is no excuse.
Agreed.
And fight or flight is a real thing. Like, it is, yeah. Fight or flight is a real thing, and it's so not easy to say, but when you're in those situations, you look at it through a lens of like, bro, if it was me, I promise you, I'll stand up, I'll kick them cameras down,
yeah.
I'll smack homeboy in the face,
yeah.
I'll say this, I'll do that. But when you're in there, you're in shock.
You're in shock, and all you want to do is move on.
Yeah, bro, move on is the fucking word, bro. All you want to do is fucking move on. Just move on to the next thing. Just move on to the next thing.
There's so many
times. And like, we had to say a few times, bro, just move on.
Just move on. Just
move on.
So many different topics. You were like, move on, move on, move on.
Yeah.
It's not even like about pity laughs or anything, but we just wanted to
get out of that situation.
Literally get out of that situation, keep the ball rolling. And we thought it was going to be more of like a bros
it ended up being something that's like really, really hurt people that look to us for support and look to us to feel protected. And protected is the main thing that I wanted to discuss, is that it is our duty to protect you guys.
Facts.
And it is definitely not cool to be in that situation. And again, not be the ones to stand up and kick the cameras down. And we fucked it. On that occasion,
we did.
It's not going to happen again. And it's about being human. It's about realizing that you don't know what you're prepared for. You don't know how to prepare for something
you don't know
that you
about.
Don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And once it's happened one time, you're like, fuck, all right.
You learn from your mistakes. And that's literally,
that's
you
literally,
literally learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, we fucked it and we're fucked like, it. We're.
You fucked it. Fucked it. Okay. I'm playing this because I'm like, fuck these niggas. Okay, let me back up. I'm laughing because I feel like I'm them right now. There's no apologies. All right. Okay, let me get myself together. Because now this shit is even funnier than I think about it. Now, when I saw this clip, the only clip I had seen about their interaction, their time with Andrew Schultz was this one. That was the only one I had seen. And here he goes. And I'll play. Yeah, as soon as it loads. And it goes like, is it going to load?
So you're Trini.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the white side is what?
Irish.
Is Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Oh, in today's comment, you're a colonizer right now.
Yeah, right.
But it's really not fair because the Irish got fucked too.
Yeah,
you're like, you're double slaved.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to the double slave part. I was looking at them and the cringe. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, I knew nothing positive was going to come out of it, right? But here we go.
It sounds insane.
But it does sound insane, but it is
mathematically
true.
Mathematically speaking.
Give me taters. There's potato slaves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck sake. That shit's probably harder to pick than cotton if you think about it.
Okay, white boy. All right, now, I'm only sharing this clip out of uselessness because, to remind you, that's the only thing that I saw. When I saw when I heard the apology, I honestly believe, I'm naive like that, right? These niggas landed in wherever the fuck they live, where in Britain, whatever, Great Britain, and landed in England, went home, and did the apology. I had no idea they did the apology after. After they were like, oh, backlash. Wait, what? People are pissed? Wait, what? I'm thinking of that episode of Family Guy where Brian, the dog, tweets. I think he said something. Oh, he said he tweets something. Something racist. He goes, I don't have AIDS. Something about having whatever. Turns off his phone to go see his movie. To go see a movie. And when he's out, he's filled with Twitter. So anyways, right. So I didn't know these guys were responding to a backlash, which changes everything completely. And, B, take your time. So I've established, it's the only clip that I saw. So I replied with, you know, I didn't say anything bad, but I'm acting like I did something bad. But this is what I replied with. I replied with, I'm going to read it word for word. It's, I said, I don't know the full story. I remember writing that statement. I got to remind you, it's always the tweet that you never give attention to, that you don't put too much thought into, that always gets attention. Anyway, so I replied with, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't have the full context. Maybe I should have went with that word. Again, I'm overthinking it again. All right. I don't know the full story. Maybe I should have went context. I said, as in, I don't know these two characters. And okay, I'll read it word for word. I don't know the full story, as in I don't know these two, nor did I watch the whole video. Like I said, I only saw that one clip. But I can relate to that discomfort being around dudes. I remember thinking of putting white dudes, cracker-ass white dudes like Andrew Schultz, and using fake laughter to hide that discomfort. That right there is why I can't be a public figure. And what I didn't realize what I was saying in the moment is I was also saying that what I meant by why I can't be a public figure is that right there is why I can't handle having a fan base and then doing something that disappoints a lot of people. I put that. Erica, being the 411 that she is, always provided information, expanding on the context that I missed and what they were saying. And she said, she wrote, they allowed a white man to shit all over black women and then keyed about it with them. There is no protection for black women by black men.
Oops. So if you...
Sorry, hey, play it again. Yeah. There are no protection by black men by white men. And I'm like, oh. At the time, I didn't get it. Now, the original tweet by her is like, 14,000 likes. It's got a lot of attention. Oh, wow. 7.3 million views. My shit got 100 and we're not going to get into likes because it's not a dick swinging competition. But a lot of people saw the tweet and a lot of people reacted. A lot of people saw my reply and a lot of people, more than I'm used to, either liked and commented on it. Some were like, I get it, what you're saying, connected to what I was saying. One person expanded on what Erica said. It's like, nah, bro, that shit was a lie apology. Meaning, there's more to this story than I needed. Like, it wasn't enough for me to say, I don't know the full story. Apparently, there was a whole ass story I missed. Like, they really fucked up. I was clueless about the fact that I connected to one thing while being clueless about what exactly these guys were doing an apology for. It's kind of like, I feel like I did the equivalent of, or the way some people interpret it, it's kind of like, I don't know, P. Diddy going to jail, and I'm like, I know what it's like to want to fuck girls, you know what I mean? And meanwhile, I'm completely forgetting that, you know, I want to have sex with women and that, you know, this dude's in jail for rape, for all kinds of heinous shit. I get that. And I'll be honest with you, this is not the first time I've done that. And to be honest with you, it's not even going to be the last time where I made a comment on the internet and while being oblivious of the writing on the wall or not paying attention to what's going on in the room. All this to say, it's not the first time that I say shit that some people did not want to hear. All this to say, the final thought, this was a long ass setup just to say, the whole final thought will be focused on my thoughts between Monday when I initially saw the video and wrote my comment and now. Because it kind of messed with me. So here's the thing, right? There was a lot of people who, one person I appreciated responded with, I get it, but it's not that thing. Like, it's one thing to be at work and kikiing with white people, but it's another thing to be on a fucking camera and doing that shit. And here's hoping they do better. Whatever, right? Some people, you know, just clarify. But a few people were really mean about it. I'm gonna add the word justifiably. Like, there's a lot of anger. There was a lot of, like, disappointment, anger. Some people, like, let me have it. Said some, like, whew, some, like, cruel shit. some mean shit out there. And all that, and out of all the response that I got, guess which one I focused on? The positive shit? Fuck no. Look, during my time as a comedian, and a lot of comics can relate to this shit, right? You're killing, you're on stage, killing the set, and then as you scan the crowd, feeling good about yourself, you notice this one person with their arm crossed, not laughing, going, giving you the look like, why the fuck am I here? Do you think we're focused on the crowd or we're focused on that one individual? So what I'm saying, I spent the whole week focused on the negative comment. Now, before I get into the comments, right? Okay, usually I should also, for people returning listeners, I will get to what the fuck was I thinking with today's title. What's up with today's title? But that's going to be at the end. I'm just giving you, I got to give you all this story. Like I said, a lot of thinking went into this shit. So, first I want to give you a bit of context about Erica. And there's I'm putting a lot of emphasis on the word Erica. Homegirl. I'll give you a story about her. I remember the first day she got on my radar. And when I say radar, I mean, I've known her before that. I've known, you know, like she's a writer, she podcasts. And sometimes every once in a while, she attended some of the comedy shows. She's been, trying out jokes and say, hey, what do you think of that one? Like it was like the only black person that could say, hey, man, the only black person would be in the audience. But anyways, this one time in the comedy community, which I should emphasize the fact that it's in the city of Ottawa, the Ottawa community is fucking white. So is the audience. It's like white ass snow. So I was trying to recite Kirk Franklin's white ass snow. It's like, it's lily white. It's cracker ass white. It's whiter than white. I think Ottawa is like the whitest capital on the planet. There's a few black people, brown and whatever, but white people run this shit. Yo, they don't call Canada the Great White North simply because of the winter. A lot of white people. Okay, we are like, I mean, the demographic probably is slowly changing. But when I was growing up, white people dominated this shit. So I'm used to being in their space. So when I started comedy, I played the game like I'm in their space. It's their worlds. It's their rules. You play by their, you know, whatever the fuck they think is funny. That's what you got to go with. If not, you're sensitive. All that shit, right? I give you all this context because one day there was a buzz in the Ottawa comedy community about this black girl who, they didn't use the word audacity, but this black girl who stood up during a comedy show and spoke out against this white boy who made a bad joke about, he made a racist joke, disrespectful joke, something about, you know what, fuck it. I'm like, but it was a racist joke, racist, ignorant joke. And it's the kind that it's like, fuck, you dig up the history, it makes it worse. When you know about the context of the history, it makes it worse. But to these white people, it's like, what the fuck? You got to remember, white people took pleasure in seeing us hang from trees. Like, that was a form of entertaining for them. So they're used on laughing at shit that's painful to us. Anyways, the comedy community was buzzing about this black girl who stood up during the show and said, yo, fuck that. Spoke out against what he said, right? And a big debate about fucking people being too sensitive. One crowd, there's a civil rights between white people. One crowd was like, it's just a joke, versus another one, it's like, hey, shouldn't we make it a safe space for, isn't it inappropriate? Then a big debate over. I remember reading this story, and I won't lie, reading that buzz made me feel like this was like my Rosa Parks, Claudette Colvin. Is that her name? Claudette Colvin? Don't be Claudette Colvin? Colvin. Claudette Colvin. Yes. Claudette Colvin moment. This is me. Like, I think about if I was back in those days in the 1940s, and I'm on the back of the bus, because, you know, I'm an obedient black guy, right? I'm on the back of the bus because they told us to be on the back of the bus. And the black woman who's sitting up front is like telling the bus driver, no, fuck that. I ain't getting up, man. I ain't giving up my seat to no white man. And I'm in the back. I've always wondered in that time where I've been like, hey, black chick, fuck. Give a white man his seat. Would I have been quiet or would I have been like, yo, you heard the lady. Beat it. She ain't giving up her seat. Click, 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 whatever, right? You see how I got to ask that question? Unlike a lot of Negroes, people like to assume that, now I'd be on the forefront. Fuck that. I've been like, I would have been Malcolm X. I would have taken that bullet for Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, and all that shit. Nah. I look at myself now, because I'm like, I wasn't built to be an activist. I'd have participated, but I don't know if during those times, I would have stood beside those courageous women. So I think about, I hear about the story about what Erica did. Oh, sorry, I forgot to say the black woman was who stood up was Erica. And I remember hearing about it, and it was like, I felt like I was witnessing, I was hearing about Rosa Parks being defiant. That same defiance, she said, her speaking up like she did, to me, felt like a defiance. And it kind of changed shit for me. It changed shit for me because, remember, I started the game with, it's their rules. And what Erica did made me realize that, nah, fuck that. You ain't got to play by those rules. You ain't got to tap dance with these crackers. Matter of fact, I see you tap dance, I'll fuck you up myself. So what I'm saying is, it was really brave on her part to do what she did. But I think a lot on, if had I been in that theater with her, in that room with her, would I have stood up? Or would I have been like, it's just a joke? Or would I have been quiet? Or would I have joined her and been like, yo, you heard the lady. You're making one more racist joke. I'll strangle you with the mic cord my damn self. We're both going to prison. I say all this shit because it brings me back to me saying I can relate to that discomfort. Now, granted, in this when they talked about this discomfort, I understand that they said it after they were reacting to the backlash. But still, I still, like, for my own self, can connect to that feeling. Like, let's say this was a sincere apology on their part. The one thing I will not do, is throw stones at the dudes for doing something that I've done. And the thing is, lucky for me, you know, I don't have a lot of listenership on this podcast. This is why, like, if this was a real shit, I would have written down this script to make sure that I don't say all the wrong things. But right now, I'm just speaking freely. Yeah, I can't throw stones at these dudes. Deserving or not, I can't do it simply because he without said, I fucked up there. I've been there before. I can picture myself being on that podcast doing what they did. Now, granted, they did fuck up by going on that podcast in the first place. I don't know what they were thinking, what that decision was all about. But one thing, I mentioned this, for those who are not aware, there are two versions of this podcast, a Shut Up podcast. There's I broke it down into two eras. There's the Old Testament era of Shut Up podcast and the New Testament era. Right now, you're in the New Testament era of Shut Up podcast. The Old Testament era of Shut Up podcast, I didn't know shit. A friend to all is a friend to none. I was trying to be a friend to all. Back in that era of Shut Up Podcast, I used to believe that I could use my ability to understand other people's perspective. I could use reason to help white people deal with their racism. I used to believe that shit. I was young, dumb, full. I thought that I had the patience that it would take to help white people understand my reality. Only to realize I was fucking naive. That shit's impossible. There's a book out there called White Fragility. After reading it, I'm like, oh, wow. Me trying to teach white people about racism from the way we black people see it is equivalent to me trying to teach a person who doesn't know how to count calculus. Not a goddamn chance. They don't even know the basis. Like, a lot of them, like, oh, I mean, I know I'm white, but I don't make a big deal. Like, they don't think about race the same way we do. I was oblivious to that. Oblivious to that shit, despite the fact that I've lived with white people all my life. I was oblivious to the fact that these people do not see race the same way we do. Well, why? It's a fucking privilege for them. They don't have to. Like, thinking about race is like, it's an inconvenience that everyone's, oh, right, that's right, I can't say nigger to niggers because niggers don't like that shit. I'm thinking a lot about how I'm going back to what I said about this is not the first time I say something that people didn't want to hear. This is another reason why I came up with the concept of Shut Up Podcast. Because there was a lot of time where anytime I would say something people didn't want to hear. When I say people didn't want to hear, it's just, look, I grew up in a church. And I analyze shit. Like, I'm putting two and two together. Like, I still remember when learning about, I was a child. I still remember I was a Baptist. My parents were Baptist. They sent me to a Catholic school. And because I was Baptist, my parents did not want me to participate in any of the sacraments. So I didn't. But I didn't understand why. And then a teacher was like, do you understand why we're not letting you participate in the sacrament? You know what I said? I said, because I'm black. I don't know where that came from. I wasn't trying to be a smartass. It was my innocent mind. But I knew I fucked up by the way my teacher reacted. No, Jesus likes the, you know. I could sense the discomfort. I remember feeling like, oh, I think I said something wrong. But her response was enough to be like, B, you fuck, shut the fuck up. Stop talking. Stop saying things. Stop triggering people. So again, used to saying shit that people don't want to hear or at the wrong time. And it's not ill will. It's just, it's whatever. This week, I had practice. Like I said, I was focused on all the negative comments. I had practice letting people being upset at me. And the hardest part was fighting the urge to appease these people. There was a lot of comments. And there was so many times one person went as far as say, you know, and I get it, you know, because of spineless niggas like you. I get it. Like, what I said, spineless, like, I don't understand. What spineless, okay, I'm paraphrasing. She didn't use this word, but it's like, with spineless niggas like you, black woman don't stand a chance. I get it. I fucking get it. A lot of people wanted to say, sister, I get it. I fucked up. No, they fucked up. But I understand that I said something. It's like I lumped myself in the category of, this is what I'm trying to say. I understand that some people read what I wrote and lumped me in the category of the ain't shit niggas. Of the, no, only some men are bad. Of the, man, fuck these black chicks. High five, white man. But I lump myself with the disappointing black men. I understand that. And I so badly wanted to say, no, I'm not like them. I'm like, you know what? She's got a right to be angry. It's justified anger. The people who I should have gone against were the black dudes saying, hey, black women, don't lump us all in one category. From their perspective, they should. My response, the disappointment, I understand, is a majority thing. And then not just black men and black women. I mean men and women. Women are like, yo, understand, just like racism, they can't fix sexism. We're the ones who got to do it. But most of us are caught up in feminism is about hating women, it's about hating men. Or like, just say bullshit. Like, a lot of us are part of the problem more than we are part of the solution. And they're so used to it. and I understand the impatience, the anger, the frustration. It's like, I understand it the same way I feel the frustration with white people. A lot of white people, the majority of white people, when it comes to racism, are part of the problem, not the solution. Most white people believe in, look, all I have to do is not be racist. And by not be racist, not be perceived as a racist. All right? So I'm going to say,
Asian nigger.
But I'm not really being racist. So I get it. I get it. But I had to hold back the urge to, like, because I'm really, it was common for me. To have someone who's either angry, disappointed at me, and the need to be like, fix it. Do whatever it takes so they'll stop being angry at me. And then but I think where I've the confidence that's kicked in, the therapy has been working is how I've learned to accept, basically, yo, let them believe what they want to. Let them believe that you're the villain. Because I'm not going to help by saying, hey, I'm not like them. They don't want to hear that. What they're looking for is solutions to the problem. Because me saying I'm not like them doesn't help their situation. If I really wanted to prove I'm not like them, I should be attacking those, making it obvious, like, what, me fuck them up. I get it, yeah. I feel like I should have dedicated final thought to everyone in the comment section. Another reason why I didn't respond is I don't know which one of them are trolling. I'm sure, like, there are people in there that even if I did plead my case, they'd be like, hi, you dumb. I just wanted you to jump for the hoop. So again, and it's also a reminder how much I hate Twitter, man. Facebook exposed everyone in the past that should have stayed in the past. Facebook responded, which one of my friends have shitty thoughts? Twitter exposed, which strangers have shitty thoughts? Being a disappointment, here's a point that I wrote down, okay? And I'm getting ready to wrap it up because being a disappointment to others had me thinking about how much time I focus on the worst of me, which finally we're getting closer to the meaning of today's title. All right. What I mean by that is I've been thinking a lot about the idea of being a celebrity, I've been thinking a lot about being in their shoes, because apparently the way they started their podcast, they were trying to present a version, which is similar to what I'm trying to do, is trying to present a version of masculinity that's not common. Like, we're the cool guys. Hey, we're two friends. We love each other. We bond. We talk about whatever. Like we're the, not alternative, but hey, you know what? They were showing that, hey, ladies, okay, I'm at the court. From what I've been reading, from what I understand, right, is they started out as, we're the men that you don't usually deal with, which is why a lot of their fan base were women, black women. And then all this moment fucked up, and then all this, and they disappoint them. Like, this is like, I mean, it's not on the same level, but of like Kanye West saying, slavery is a choice. Like, that level of disappointment. And I get it. And I've been picturing being in their shoes. And it made me think about how much I cannot stand. I have this belief that I couldn't handle that level of shame on their part. I mean, like, the sense that, like, for them, I don't know, maybe it's sincere. Maybe they're bothered at the fact that they disappointed their fan base, or maybe they're like, oh, we're losing money off of this shit. But being is the idea of being a leader, being up front, whether a church leader, whatever, being a leader, and you let down your followers. I say followers, but whatever, right? didn't mean to giggle, but the reason I laugh is because I'm thinking about how Mike, I'm asking the question, if I was in their shoes, God forbid, how would I move forward when a lot of people are like, nah, nigga, kill yourself, hang yourself. There is no life after that. Like, there's a great deal of disappointment in these two dudes. And I am, and it had me thinking about how much I can't handle being a disappointment to people. But while thinking about how much I can't handle being a disappointment to people, I also found myself thinking, reflecting, I'm not sure how I got on this path, but reflecting on how much time I focus on the worst in me. Look, I think I grew up disappointing myself. I have a huge disappointment in myself, and I just, like, it's, I've normalized the disappointment in myself. So all I have left is not disappointing others. I think I've convinced myself there's a program in my mind that, yeah, fuck that. Yeah, you can see yourself as a loser. All you have left is doesn't matter if you look at it. No, it's normal to look in the mirror and be disappointed. All you have left is not disappointing others. You got to work, focus all your energy on making pleasing others. And I know I'm not sure how I jumped from one to the other, but it just had me thinking about, oh, now I get it. Because I remember the song by Marvin Sapp. He saw the best in me when no one else around me could only see the worst in me. And I found myself thinking how much time, how much I focus on the worst in me. It's the only thing I think about. Like, it's like 99% of my thoughts is the worst in me. Trust me. No one's disappointed in me more than me. I added an extra note. I said, I'm not mad at black women who want to revoke the leadership card from black men. I think about how on the message of disappointment, I think about how I feel like everyone I've ever looked up to ended up being a disappointment. Disappointed in me at some point, which had me thinking that I might be a disappointment. I can't escape it. I think about how I'm used to being judged by people who don't take the time to know me, whether it's white people, whether it's a relative or whatever, a self-hating relative who's, they just transfer, you know, misery loves company. They transfer that. They're disappointed in themselves, so they figure, well, since we're related, then you're just, like, I'm just used to being surrounded by people who just expect the worst from me. It's like normal. And I'm like, it had me thinking, maybe that's why I tend to think things personally, because I have a long list of shit that I have a long list of reasons to why I ain't shit. This isn't a pity talk. This is me just sharing thinking out loud right now, right? Long list of reasons to why I ain't shit. And then when you criticize me, it's like, oh, great. So in addition to being blah, 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 there's this new reason to why I ain't shit. Again, thinking out loud, I'm not offering solution. I'm just, that's what I do on this podcast. And final thought, I process my feelings. I think, I process my feelings. Try to make sense out of it. I don't know. One quote I was looking for, there's a black woman. She said, black man, we love you. Something like that. But I remember the first time hearing something positive about black men. And it caught me off guard because I've just gotten so used to being a disappointment. I've just gotten so used to being disappointed by people. Like, I'm reaching, like, I actually wrote this. I said, maybe the standards for men are too high or high. I mean, like, I feel like, say, ladies, this is as good as we get. I'm sorry. I mean, we lied to you about being like the better sex. Nah, this is as good as we get. One of my a friend I was talking to about the situation, and she says that she's not, and she's pro-black too. She's on constant shit, right? And she said she's not disappointed in what James and Fouad did because her expectation from them were low from the beginning. Not low, but I mean, she enjoyed it. It's like she consumes their content, but she didn't put these dudes on a level where she would be disappointed. Like, she's like, okay, I expected that shit to happen. It's kind of like me when it comes to racism. I made myself, and this is how I cope with this world, is anytime I meet a white person, I've already imagined every way. I've already imagined them using the N-word. I've already imagined them, oh, you did blackface. I've already imagined something disappointing. It doesn't matter if, okay, John Brown might be an exception. I'm sure John Brown must have dropped the N-word because he didn't know any better. But you know what I mean? It's how I cope with the world. See, white people prefer that. No. I would rather you had high expectations of me. I'm like, nah, fuck that. I've been disappointed way too many times to grant you that benefit of the doubt. So I'm just gonna assume you ain't shit so that when you do disappoint me, it won't hurt, it won't sting so much. So that's what I mean. I said, it's like the toss. It's either, maybe we should, like, shout out to you lesbian. Shout out to hetero women who are like, fuck, I'm done with men. I get it. Lowered expectation. It's like, it's a toss between either they lower the expectation or we try to come to terms with the things. Look, I'm not talking about how, normalizing, lowering to the point of domestic violence and shit like that. Look, you know, I didn't talk about Puffy on this podcast, but I'm thinking about Puffy, Weinstein, Cosby, R. Kelly. Growing up in the 90s, they were all dudes that I looked up to. Like, they were my betters. Like, fuck that. I'm not, like, look, they got more bitches than me. They got more cars than me. And I look at them. Huge disappointment. Like, I'm bad, but I'm not that bad. I guess that's what I'm saying. Lowering the expectation to my badness. I, again, and going back to the idea of disappointment, it's a thing for me. It's like, it's a conversation I need to have with my therapist. And I'm starting to think, sometimes I wonder if part of the reason why I'm enjoying solitude is because I don't have to worry about disappointing someone. Because I can't deal with it. I'm not looking. I don't set out to be a disappointment. But I just know it can't happen. That's all I think about. One way I try to keep myself in check. I don't tell myself I'm a good person. But one way I try to keep myself in check, I just constantly believe I'm fucking up. By constantly believing that. It's the closest way. I'm not saying it helps. I'm not saying it works. But I'm saying it's by focusing, by keeping myself low, I minimize the possibility of fucking up. Maybe that's why I didn't have a family. Maybe that's why I didn't look out to get married and have kids. The idea of being a disappointment. Coward! So be it. I mean, it is what it is. It's right now you're meeting me where I'm at. And this is, okay, I'm talking, but this is also accepting. This is where I'm at. A lot of people are looking at, fucking coward, that's where you're at, sissy. Sorry, not sissy, spineless bitch. Oh yeah, somebody in the comment section called me a coward. I get it. I fucking get it. But I ain't trying to be more than I am. Now, finally, let me, because I got to wrap this up. You know, a lot of the shit that I put in, because I had so many thoughts in my mind, I had to I had to put ChatGPT to help me organize my thoughts. It fucking helped. No, I'm not reading a script from ChatGPT. Trust me. With all the that I said, no, you can tell it's my voice. All right. Let me finally get to today's title. All right. What's up with today's title? Well, needless to say, it came from a song by Marvin Sapp called He Saw the Best in Me. Wait, is that what it's called? Yeah. Oh, my God. Come on, B. It's Rap Genius loading up. Gotta convince him I'm not a... Yeah, The Best in Me by Marvin Sapp. Yes, it is a gospel song. And the reason why this song was so apropos is because, like I said, I was focused on, yo, some people are mad at me. Some people have an image. Yo, Talal Macy has this line, the poet Talal Macy, he had a line, I can't remember the poem, but it says, whether you see my horns or my wings, whether you see me as an angel or as a devil, depends on, it all comes down to your disposition. Like, I could do all the nicest thing in the world, but it won't stop you from being like, oh, what a piece of shit. For whatever the fuck reason. So, basically, I've accepted that. So, out of all the reasons why I picked this gospel song is because, for those who are familiar with the podcast, usually I pick a rap song or some other music, but I've avoided reciting lyrics from a gospel song because you know what's funny? Even though I'm an ex-Christian, even though Christianity is behind me, I have this fear of some Christian being, oh, you're one of us! And then if I tell them nope, then I got to hear some long-ass lecture about why I should be Christian. Like, I don't want to get in a conversation. I don't want to make some Christian feel comfortable around me. Oh, you're one of us! Which church do you go to? I don't go, oh my God. You know what I mean? But I remember, like, I have this tendency of wanting to constantly control people's perceptions of me. And by me choosing this a verse from a gospel song, it's like, fuck it. Yes, I'm an ex-Christian who still listens to gospel music. I just don't pay attention to the lyrics. Just like I watch porn and don't watch the... Oh, that doesn't make sense. So this is me... This is me saying this is me. Right. Okay. So the other thing too is I remember the first time, this one time I was listening to this song. I don't know if I was high. When I say I'm high, I don't mean I was being stupid, but my thoughts go all over the place for it, right? But I remember the song was playing in the background and I was reflecting on the words, the lyrics, and I was thinking about how I was listening to the song and I was reflecting on the idea that, like I said, because I'm constantly focused on the worst in me and focused on the idea that God is the one entity who's able to see the best in me. Now, I say God, but I'm going to use the word, he says God, but I'm going to go with my ancestors. The ancestors are looking at me and they're the one thing in the universe, even though I'm not doing it, who are able to see the best in me. And because they see it, that means it exists. The song goes, he saw the best in me with no one else around me. But my version is, no one else around me plus me could only see the worst in me. So by having this entity, believing in an entity that's able to see, that sees the best in me, it allows me to believe, to have faith in the idea that there is such a thing as the best in me. It's a way to fight this idea of this disappointment. It's by focusing on that is how I was able to handle people being like, hey, fuck you, B-Black. Fuck you on that comment. Fuck you for being a bitch-ass nigga like these niggas. And I think that's what it is, and that's the answer to my question is, if I was in their shoes, if I were to like garner a big ass fan base and I do something that disappoints them, or they learn something about me that disappoints them, and as they're cussing me out and that disappointment, I can stand, I mean, yeah, I fucked up, but it's not something worth hanging myself for. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I mean, it's making sense to me. It's meant to be a sermon. It's, yeah. By having this notion that the ancestors see the best in me, that means the best in me exists. Anyway, that's the only thing I got going for myself. With that said, I don't know how these dudes are gonna get out of this shit. Oh, I meant to talk about how much I when I was talking about the comedy community and everything like that, I forgot to add, like, if I resent Andrew Schultz as a comedian or as a content creator or whatever the fuck, it's because he reminds me of the white people, both audience and comedians, colleagues, who made my journey as a black comic unpleasant. Like, it's enough for me to be like, fuck, I'd rather do it in another city. Because you don't know, because you're always wondering, because it always feels like they're not laughing with you, they're laughing at you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Anyways, it's just, I can't trust them. I think the moral of the story for these guys is, yeah, don't trust them. Yeah, they fucked you over. You know, on the long list of, I have a list of other links. One of the links is one sister, she talks about how, bro, this downfall needs to be studied. And basically they talk about how, yo, Andrew Schultz been on that bullshit. Racism. His racism is like, he's in a special category of racism. It's like, yes, I'm familiar with black culture, but doesn't mean I love you niggers. Haitian nigger. I just love the culture. Just keep pumping that shit out for me. I just love the controversy. I just love being able to say shit. Being on that borderline of racism.
Haitian nigger.
And causing you torment and getting ratings out of it. Yeah. It's not Andrew Schultz as a person. It's people like him. Can't stand. I think, the moral of the story is, yeah. So I kind of want to collaborate with other podcasts, but the lessons learned for the New Testament era of Shut Up Podcasts is I'm taking the time to get to know the person before I go on, before I talk to them. Because the shit that I talk about is outside the cult of masculinity. So it's going to piss off a lot of people who are like in the cult. Anyways, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed fucking producing it. A lot of thoughts went into it. As always, there's going to be some changes to the podcast. But I was going to say that if you want to holler at me, just go to shutuppodcast.com, or you could use the email address shutuppodcast@gmail.com. With all that said, again, thank you for listening. And as always, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.